We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
We're going to be just referencing Galatians 5, but we're not going to really be talking too much about that because it's the study that we've been in for a while called Holy Fruit, and I've somewhat lost my voice. I preached three times on Sunday, and then I yelled my lungs out Monday night, and so I told Micah about 20 minutes ago, I said, hey, I can't go tonight, you're up. He said, no, you're going to go. So I asked Joel to turn me up a little bit on the mic, and he said he wouldn't do it because he said that's what you get. And so you know we're talking about goodness tonight, if you haven't figured that out. In verse 22, we talked last week about gentleness and kindness. As I mentioned before, you can go online and you can catch up with all of these sermons. They're there. They're for you to listen to. I have to tell you that as I've gone through all of these now and continuing through and researching them, about the time you think that you're actually doing okay on one of these, you realize, man, I really stink at this. I'm really not as kind as I thought, as gentle as patient. By saying that every one of us in here has heard this phrase or said this phrase, now you be good. Hands up if you've said that. Hands up if you've heard someone say that. Hands up if you've been told that. Every parent on the planet has said those words. I always knew that Angela and I were going to have some serious conversation when I would stop by or pick up the boys or the boys would get in the car or whatever, and I would say to them, were you guys good? And there'd be this long pause, and one of them would say, I was a little bit good. I always knew what that meant. And so one day I remember I was dropping off one of our sons. I won't tell you which one, but I was dropping them off and I looked at him and said, hey, be good. And he looked at me with the smirk on his face and he said, no one is good but God, Dad. I said, and God will use me to whoop you. And so after I drove away, I began to think about his response. And at the time, I was working my way through a very thick book on sanctification. And his response and what he said was true, right? For the most part. It's never good when your kids flip the scriptures on you like that. And so I quit saying to them. I did. I stopped saying to our boys, I said, I never said to them after that, I tried never to say to them, be good. Here's what I said. Here's the phrase. This is the phrase. You might want to write it down. We're going to be referencing it. And it's something that convicted me. And I tried to live this out in my own life. And I began to put that on to them. And it's been a blessing because now, in some correspondence with both of them, they've both said, you remember this phrase. And here's the phrase. Remember who you are and remember whose you are. And I would make them repeat that to me. They would get out of the car, we're going to look and say, hey, I know, Dad, remember who you are, remember whose you are. That's right. Remember that. And I have to tell myself that. Hey, remember who you are and remember whose you are. We find ourselves in a little bit of a quagmire tonight when we start talking about being good. And the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. And then we see passages in the Bible that says there is none good, no, not one. We see a passage that says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? How can we work this out? What can we do? Are people doomed forever to just be bad? Can people who don't have the Holy Spirit do good things? If so, does that mean that there's some goodness in them somewhere? What about the phrase, he's a good guy, she's a great gal? They are such good people. Or what about when Jesus says in Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. How do we rectify this whole thing about being good and good and no one's good and there's no goodness in us. And then we get into the big doctrinal thing of how men are depraved and we're sinful and corrupt and can we ever do anything good really ever? And it's a little bit of a conundrum. Thank God for the Word of God. You can say amen because I can't, all right? In all, there are 720 references in the Bible to the words good and goodness. The Bible has a lot to say about good and goodness. So when the Bible talks about goodness, and we learned this last week about kindness and gentleness a little bit, when the Bible talks about goodness and good, we need to grasp the grander understanding and the implication of the word, much like last week. The word good has a broad sense in meaning and in context here for the fruit of the Spirit. We have to make sure that we're getting it right as we evaluate how can we be good? How are we to be good? What does good and goodness look like in your life? Can lost people be good? And can we see them do good things? You see, to help us grasp this, we have to understand that goodness in the Bible, if you're a note taker, there's a lot coming at you tonight, and there's a lot of references coming onto the screen, and I did this on purpose. I typically wouldn't use these many scriptures in my sermons, but tonight I did for these reasons. Because good and goodness runs parallel with words like integrity, with words like righteousness. Jesus talked about the pure in heart, and it speaks to who someone, here we go, who someone is and what they do. For example, in Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, it says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light. Walk as what? Children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in what kind of goodness?" Do you see that? All goodness. What's the next word? Well, where's this word before that? Come on, guys. It's on the screen. Like, this is not hard. I mean, we're just not English class here, okay? So it's all what? And? You see that? It's together. All goodness and truth. Running parallel. These are all linked together. You really can't separate them. What happens? It's proving what's acceptable unto the Lord. Now, Galatians 6:10 says, as we, everybody say me. So when we say we mean me, you, okay? As we have therefore opportunity, let us do what?
Good.
Unto who?
You
know what it means in the Greek when you see all? Nope. It means everybody, okay? Everybody, okay? All. Especially unto who? Especially unto them who are? Who's he talking about? The brothers and sisters. We don't just do good to all men, but then we're especially good to who? Our brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, like last week with kindness and gentleness, the familial connection, the family connection. I think John Wesley knocked it out of the park. This is my favorite quote on being good ever. It's one of my all-time favorites. Let me share it with you tonight. Here's what John Wesley said. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. I'd like you to read that with me, okay? I'll get you started. You guys can finish it up. Here we go. Do all the good you can.
By all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can.
Okay. As long as you ever can. Write this down. Goodness is both character and a command. It's your character, it's who you are, and it's a command. We're commanded to do good. So therefore, one is predicated on the other, right? Because we are good, that means we what? We can do good. And we're only good because of the goodness of God. We're going to see this in a minute. And we can only really do good when our character is changed, and then we'll carry out the command. Because oftentimes our goodness is tainted with impure motives or to give an impression. So I only do something good so that I look good. You catching what I'm saying? So I'm going to do good so I look good because I want you to like me. I want you to think highly of me. I'll do good for my own purposes. not for the purpose of God's glory, not for the purpose of reflecting the goodness of God, but to get you to see how good I am and to get you to kind of buy into me. So I'll do some deeds. I'll help some people. I'll walk an old lady or old man across the street, and I'll make you think that I'm a good dude or a good dudette, okay? By doing these things, therefore you will have an impression, here, an image of me. And we have to be careful. Why are we being good? Why are we doing good? Why do you want your kids to do good, parent? So you don't get embarrassed? Is that why? Is that your whole motive? You be good. Don't you make mom and dad look like a fool. You behave. I don't want people thinking we don't know how to parent. They already know you don't know how to parent. If you're already telling them that, they already know. Why do you want your kids to be good? So you look good? Think about it. You need to think about it. You need to think about your motivation behind it. Because you don't want to be embarrassed. I was at lunch with Pastor Chad today. We were having a great conversation, and there was a lady in the corner with a little baby. The baby was screaming his head off. I mean, having a fit, little baby. And I just looked at her and smiled and waved. I said, you know what? That's what babies do. Right? Now she's embarrassed, and she's like, oh, he's fussy. I got to get him out of here. I got to get him out of here, right? Mom, some of you ever felt like that? Okay. Now, some of you know it's okay when a little baby does it, but it ain't okay when a 5 or 6-year-old's doing it. Let me say it this way. Goodness, in its purest form, always reflects the goodness of God. Goodness, in its purest form, always reflects the goodness of God. We're acting like our good Father when we're being good. It's a reflection of His goodness to us. You see, it's whose we are and who we are that dictates what we do and why we do it. That's why we do what we do, because of who we are and whose we are. This is the motivation. I always say, well, this would be like my good Father, then therefore I should be acting differently and thinking differently. By the way, let me throw this in for good measure. God's been too good to you for you not to be good and do good. He's been too good to you. He's been so good to you. How can you not do good and be good? It's crazy. You see, the source of all goodness is always God. And that is why we always look to God. Yes, God is righteous. How many of you would agree God is righteous? And sometimes where we find ourselves struggling is with the righteousness of God, and I know I do, and sometimes we want that righteous judgment and we want to be right, but hang on a minute. I'm going to say this, and it might shock some of you. As much as I love the righteousness of God and I thank God that He's righteous, listen, I don't want to bear the wrath of His righteousness. I want to take God's goodness. I don't have time to unpack this tonight, but the flip side of that righteousness, where God could annihilate and say, you've broken my holy law, you've sinned. My righteousness demands, but He's also a good God, isn't He? And David said it was the gentleness of God. Paul said it's the gentleness that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God. And so I thank Him for His righteousness. Psalm 107, I read that tonight before we started. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His what? His goodness. For His wonderful works to the children of men. 4 times in Psalm 107. 4 times distinctly. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. So, what does this lead us to understand about the fruit of goodness? Number one, God is good and God does good. Amen, church? Now, this statement I just said will throw you for a loop sometimes. And it will throw people who don't know the Lord or who have a false understanding of God or a misunderstanding of God. See, there are times when we struggle with this, when we see things happening, when something unexpected comes our way, when we are diagnosed with a sickness out of the blue, something happens and we think, what is happening right now? You look at all of the evil that is happening. When you look at our world, this is a pretty wicked place, isn't it? It's wicked. I was recently in a conversation with a group of guys who I believe all of them were lost. They never convinced me they were saved. They were very lost guys. We were all having a conversation. And they all knew I was a pastor. And the conversation started to tilt to the direction of, can you believe all of the bad, wicked, ugly, evil things that are happening in the world? And I was like, any minute. And one guy began to talk about his job and what he does and how he has to go to hospital wards and how he sees people. And he was getting very graphic and very crass and coarse in his language. And he was saying all of this stuff, and I can't understand it. And finally, one of the guys could sense the tension, and I just thought, any second, I'm going to get pommeled. You know, they're going to come after me like a pack of wolves here. And one guy snapped his head around, and he looked at me, and he said, well, Pastor, he said, we can't blame God for all this. He said, our world's imperfect. He said, and we just keep messing it up, making it worse. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, what he said. I think what he said. Now, I don't know how you are, but I know how I am. And I know that sometimes I see things happen and I think, God, why'd you do that? Why'd you let that happen? Just me? Anybody else? You ever have a conversation with someone and they unpack their story and you go, oh my word. And you just, you can't get your head around it. There have been times in our life, my life personally, Angela and I, things have happened, and you think, God, what are you doing? What is happening? Why? Listen, when we are challenged to make sense of what is happening to us, always remember to trust God's character. Don't buy into the circumstance of what you can't understand or see. You must trust his character. In the Bible, we read of a story about a guy by the name of Joseph whose brothers sold him into slavery. Do you know the story? And if you had brothers like that, man, that's a bummer, right? And they sell him off into slavery, and God just works this whole thing out. I mean, there's a period of 13 years in the life of Joseph where God doesn't even speak to him. He doesn't even hear from the Lord. 13 years he's in prison. He's accused of trying to rape this woman. I mean, it's just a total debacle. And yet Joseph just stays faithful. He just keeps plugging away. He just says, you know what, I'm just going to keep doing what I know to do. Joseph had character. And finally, I mean, literally in one day, he goes from a prisoner to a prince. There's only one guy over him is Pharaoh. You know the story. His brothers come and they don't know it's him. I mean, he looks like an Egyptian. He's all in Egyptian garb and he's got an Egyptian wife. And finally, he reveals himself. And there's this weeping and wailing, and the text is so precious. Every time I read it, I cry like a girl. I just do. I just think, what a moment that must have been. It just touches me. Even now, I think about it, how he must have felt. And there's his brothers, and he makes this miraculous statement. And it's just to this, every time I think about it, as I'm penning it, I'm just thinking about it. He says, you boys, you meant this for evil. God meant it for good. Amen. You planned this. You concocted this. You worked this out. You lied to Dad. You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. And now because of this and because of God, I'm actually able to save your life. Understand that God does not intend evil or do evil. However, only God can take an evil situation and turn it to good. You see, God is sovereign, and that means he rules and he reigns, and he has the power to bring good results out of evil. God overcomes the evil for good. And I think this is why in Romans 12:21 it says, be not overcome of evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. And again, this points to the character and the conduct of who we are and what we're to do. You see, people who claim to know God will act like him. Our external actions show what's going on internally, not perfectly, but increasingly. as we cultivate the Spirit's work in us, and he produces the fruit through our living. You ever heard the phrase, you're a goody two-shoes? You know, as Christians sometimes, that's how people look at us. Oh, you're a goody two-shoes. You go to church. You pray. Mm. Right? I mean, and people have odd feelings about that, because have you ever noticed that if you do something good, then other people feel bad, and they're like, don't make me feel bad. I'm like, you feel bad all on your own because you're a jerk. Don't put that on me. Here's the point. Christians are not called to be a bunch of do-gooders, but good doers. Okay, understand there's a difference. There's never been a bunch of do-gooders. Oh, you're a do-gooder. No. We are good doers. Remember, we're not doing good for our salvation. We're doing good as a result of our salvation. We're doing good so that we get saved. We're saved. We're going to see this in a minute. Good works don't save you, but they give evidence of your salvation. They give evidence of that. We're going to talk about this now, because we see that God is good and he does good, and we've seen this and how he is the only one who can take something that was very evil and turn it to good. But number two, and I could take us really deep into that whole thing about God is good, but let me just stay on point. Number two, God's people do good because we have God's Spirit within us. Because most of us don't wake up in the morning and go, ooh, who could I do good to today? It's typically not on the forefront of our mind. We don't think about that. Now, I do want to be clear. Lost people can do good things. They can. I've met a lot of very, very nice, polite, genuine, sweet people who don't know the Lord, and they'll do some very good things. The people that I work out with, most of them, they're as lost as a goose. But I'm telling you, they'll raise money for charity. They'll help with the ALS Foundation. They'll do a fun run thing and do a, I mean, they raised, I think, close to six figures. Put the church to shame, by the way. They probably give more than some of us in here. They'll do good. They'll help. There's a couple of them. If I called them right now and said, hey, I'm in a spot, they're like, hey, hold on, I'll help you. What do you need? You would call the church. I'm like, well, you better call the deacon. You better call the preacher. No, I'm calling you. Bother the preacher. Bother the deacon. I'm calling you. Do you know that the United States of America gives more to charity than any other nation in the world? We are the most giving nation on the planet. The most. Now, don't confuse this. Don't confuse doing good deeds and acts of service with having the goodness of God in you because of the Spirit. Don't confuse that. Okay, don't let your wires get crossed. And let me give you a chunk of scripture here to help us, okay? Titus 3. Let me read it to you. So we're going to get some background, and we're going to get some practicality. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. By the way, as I say these things, if you find yourself identifying with any of these words, put your hand up. We were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving our own lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. I would say guilty as charged, right? But after that, we saw this verse, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Here we go. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. But the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit taking up residence, changing us from the inside out, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God. Are you tracking, church? Are you tracking? They which have believed in God might be careful to what? Maintain. Whoo! There you go. Because these things are good and profitable unto men. Notice the phrase, careful to maintain good works. The idea here, the idea that's being carried in the text, is being devoted. You can do good once in a while, right? Yeah, it's fine. Try living that way. Amen, somebody? You could be good a couple days a week. How many of you ever diet? You ever have a cheat day? We have cheat weeks in our house. That's how it works around the Adams house. We're going to cheat this week. And we're going to start next week. Because, you know, you have dedication on Monday, and then something happens on Tuesday, and then you're like, well, we'll start next week. Forget it. Okay. It's the same thing with being good, isn't it? You're like, I tried. I tried so hard. This is what he's saying. Maintain good works. You understand? Be devoted. It's a result of your salvation. It's what James talks about by way of doing good works, giving evidence of internal change. You see, doing good is one of the external evidences of internal change. It's the manifestation of what's happening internally to you. You're changing inside, and so the manifestation is outside. You start to change. Now, it always comes back to the why. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing good? What is the motive? What do we hope to gain? How often are we to do good works? This is how we live. You see, for the believer, doing good is not a one-time act. It's not to soothe our conscience or make us feel good. It's an attitude and it's an action. It's doing good. Why? 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 So other people will look at you and go, wow, look how great you are. Oh, you did really good. No, we do good because we've experienced the goodness and grace of God. Let me put it this way. We do good because we just can't help it. Have you ever been around somebody and they do something and someone who doesn't know that person goes, what was that? And you're like, oh, that's just how they are. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Somebody does something and you're like, yep, that's them. That's, you set your watch by it. They're going to do something. You just know, like, yep, that's them. That's how they do it. That's how they are. That's the way they are. In many ways, in so many ways, as you look at the fruit of the Spirit, when we as believers are doing good, that's exactly what people should be thinking about us. Oh, yeah, that's just how they are. They're just that way. They're just good. They just do good. They're just good. Write this down. Christians are to be predictably good in a world of evil. They ought to know, no matter what happens, they're going to do right. They're going to be good. They're going to do good. This was Daniel. Daniel was predictably holy. Never forget, first time I heard it, 6 years ago, Crawford Loritz, who was preaching a sermon, and he preached on predictable holiness, and he used Daniel as the illustration, and it just completely convicted me, because Daniel was so predictably holy, his very living convicted him, because they were trying to catch him, and they couldn't find anything wrong with him except his holiness. And they said, well, let's nail him on that, because we know he's going to pray. We know he's going to pray. So as soon as he prays, then we got him. How predictable are you at being good? Are people like, it'll be any minute now, she's going to pop. Any minute, he's going to blow a stack. Watch. This is how he is. You know how he is. Just give me a little minute. You know who's a great example in the Bible is Barnabas. Always doing good, always showing grace, always being generous. We looked at Barnabas. We called him Barnia. Remember him? Acts chapter 11, it says, then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and he had seen the grace of God that was in them, he was glad, and he exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Look how the Bible describes him, for he was a what? He was a good man. Why? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and look what happened. Much people ratted to the Lord, clearly seen. Now, let me say this as we get ready to conclude. Some people will say, well, I tried Jesus once. I tried church. I had people tell me, I had a guy tell me, I tried being good. I'm like, how'd that go? He goes, you know. I said, I do know. That's the thing. You don't try being good. You don't try Jesus. You don't try him out. He's not. You surrender to him. You follow him. You obey him. If you're trying Jesus out, it's not going to work. If you're trying, I'll try to be good this week, it's not going to work. There must be a commitment there, a dedication, a brokenness, a yieldedness, a willingness to say, yes, this is how I'm supposed to live, even though sometimes I want to do good. I'm supposed to do good because this is who I am. Anyone can be good. Think about it. Listen, if you know that you are going to get goodness back to you by being good, will you be good? Yeah. That's not hard. That's logical. Well, if I'm good, then I get goodness back. Well, might as well be good. You know, the whole thing, karma. How many of you have heard karma, about karma? Here, see what the Bible says about karma. Baloney. Okay? It's a Greek word. So it'll come back around. Okay. Go with that. See how that goes for you. Here's my point. You know what's wrong with some of us? You know what's wrong with me sometimes? I only want to do good if I got a guarantee. Here's the point. What's in it for me? Okay, I'll help you out. Now what are you going to do for me? All right, I hear you. I hear you. Okay, let me help you. Now what are you going to do for me? I'll do this if you do that. I'll invite you to my house for dinner. I expect an invite back. I'll help you, but I'm going to need you to help me. If you think like that, your thinking is skewed. That's old way thinking. Goodness says, I want to do good to you because God's been good to me, and I want to bless you. I don't care if you ever can do anything to help me out. I don't care. Think about a fruit. You got one in your mind? Think. Got fruit in your mind yet? Okay. What does a fruit do? A fruit is made to what? Be consumed. A fruit tree never eats its own product. When you are good, when you are being a fruit, you are blessing someone. Not looking for anything in return. You just say, here, let me help you. Let me be good to you. See, the fruit of goodness, it's not looking for something. It's not saying, well, I hope I get something back. And secretly, we don't say, but secretly we hope. Well, this is why parents sometimes will get frustrated with their children because they're like, I'm doing all this for you, and why are you acting this way? Because they're children. You can't measure that by your parenting. I mean, that's crazy. You'd be frustrated your whole parenting life, which is till you go to the grave, by the way. You're like, I'm going to have my kids get out of the house. I don't have to parent anymore. Oh, you're still going to parent. You just parent differently. Your whole parenting thing changes. By the way, speaking of good, listen to this verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a what? Watch the text. Look at the Bible. Let's get in the Word. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, quick insert. Whatever you boast in is what you're living for. Whatever you boast, you boast in your job, you boast in your kids, you boast in your marriage, you boast in your, that's what you're living for. Whatever you're boasting in, whatever it is, whatever you're talking about, boasting in. Now, people think boast is in like, you know, puffed out chest, and that's the idea, but also it's where you find your security. That's what you live for. And so Paul says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Then look what he does with the text. Then he says, because why? We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, watch, unto, are you seeing this? Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's not of works, but it's unto good works. Think about the why. Think about the why. Have you ever done something good for someone and you felt like they took advantage of you? Hands up if that's happened to you. You did something and you're like, you snake. And you didn't say that, but you thought, you words you want to say you didn't learn in Sunday school, right? You help someone out and you're like, after all I did for you, you're going to treat me like this. Man, am I glad Jesus didn't have that attitude on the cross. Amen. Come on, amen? He didn't say, you know, Lord, I died for them. Look how they're acting. Look what they're doing. He didn't do that. See, that's why when you look at the cross, it's the ultimate picture of goodness, isn't it? It's God saying, I'm going to be so good to you that even though you despise me and reject me and hate me and mock me, before I come down with my righteousness, I'm going to be good to you. And I'm going to put good things in your life, and I'm going to try to get you this way because I don't want you to have my wrath. And this is what Christ did. He demonstrated God's goodness to all mankind on the cross, and he sealed it by rising from the grave. And this is the story of the Bible. It's the heart of the gospel. It's the hope of the future, right? We read Revelation. He's going to make all things new. He'll wipe away every tear from their eye. I love what Christopher Wright said. The cross and the resurrection are not just proof of God's goodness. They are also the source and pattern for any and all goodness we can do as Christians. 1 Thessalonians says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is both among yourselves and what? Those within and those without. 2 Thessalonians says, wherefore also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ might be what? Glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Ours is a world of evil, hate, wickedness, corruption. The world, they display who they are. And they display whose they are by what they do. We are to display who we are and whose we are by displaying Christ. You see, as believers doing good, we demonstrate the transforming power of the gospel and give evidence of God's goodness.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.